No scream after Easter, Jordan.
No energy after Easter.
It was a great Easter. Thanks for downloading this episode. You're listening to us fresh off a day off after a busy week. Really busy couple weeks.
Very busy.
Getting into it. Scott Odom out on assignment. We're doing something we've never done. It's you and me, Jordan.
What up?
Jordan Phillips, producer extraordinaire. It's not full-time podcasting. It's not all you do.
Nope. Do a lot of other things.
You do. Cut
not
grass.
Full-time. Yep.
Do you do any baseball? Do you coach any right now?
No.
No? You used to?
Used to.
That's right. And
still get asked every now and then to do lessons. I'm like, nah.
Not for you right now in this phase. But you also help make everything happen at Simple Church.
Nah, I don't, maybe.
The production
a little
side.
Bit.
That's right. What is your actual title? Like, if you had a business card, what would it say?
Audio director.
Audio director.
So anything live audio is my responsibility.
And that's why you became on the podcast, bled over into the audio world.
Yeah, that kind of just, it just kind of was looking for, I think John was just looking for somebody to kind of produce the whole thing.
Make
sure it ran smooth and so.
And I'm glad he did. It's been better since you've been a part of it.
Thanks. It's been a long 3 years.
It
really has been that long. It's kind of wild.
That's right, because it started, the podcast, Scott did in 2020, right before COVID, we knew that was happening, and then it obviously shifted emphasis and changed, but you came on 2021, around the same time I did.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we've been doing it ever since.
Yep.
But today, we're looking back at Easter, we're just saying thank you to everybody who came. It was a great time.
It was a great time. Weather, do you know how many people came?
I still have not heard the final number.
No.
Nope. We had just peek behind the curtain. We're backstage after Easter, Jordan. Everything that was there at the old Brookshire Grocery Arena has to go back somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So most people don't ever see that side of things.
Yep.
And the staff met this morning. We had the day off Monday.
It's funny. We get everything prepped for Easter. We do Easter, and then everybody goes, oh, snap, we have to put it all back.
Oh, man. And most people don't even think about it. You go home, and you eat with your family, and it's great. But it's all got
to
go somewhere.
Yeah, during loadout, Chip was like, hey, I think we're going to meet on Wednesday evening to put everything back together in the gap. And I was like, oh, man.
It's like going on vacation. It's never as fun coming home as it is getting there.
Yep.
Absolutely. But we had a great day. We were excited to have our guest. We'll talk some more about that in the movie coming up. It's going to be good stuff. But Jordan, just from you, your perspective, walk us through your weekend. What happens? How did it all come together? Because it's not like all that stuff was set up in there for the BGA.
Right.
They have events. They have concerts. Stuff's going on. So you get in. What day at what time is your first chance to walk in the building?
First time we walk in, Chip and I got there at 6:30 Saturday. Morning.
A.M.
And me and I production managed Easter, which essentially means that the design and because we have a sound company come in, a lighting company come in, an LED wall company come in.
Why do we have that?
We don't own any of that stuff.
Exactly.
And the stuff that we do own is not large enough to go and do that venue.
Right.
So all the lights, all the speakers, all the LED walls is all rented.
So if you come to church this week and you're like, oh, that doesn't look like the 30-foot LED wall that was in the middle.
Yeah.
That was a one-time
so
rental.
Anyway, so my job was to organize with all the companies what they needed, what we were doing, where things were going.
And let's back it up. When did you start that? When did you start kind of looking at it?
Probably mid-January.
Yeah. So
we
3 months.
We started talking, and then over the last 3 weeks, it's been like really nailing everything down. And then but on the other side of it, Chip is doing building managing stuff. So like what time we're gonna be there, when do we need help, what rooms do we need, just all that kind of stuff. So it's
a production.
Pretty big task.
It's a lot.
So
and like touring bands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you've been a part of productions and going in tours.
Yep.
They do it day in, day out. They have a trained crew that are dedicated to it. Ours is mostly volunteer.
Right.
There's a lot of people helping make it happen one time. Some people have never done it. Some people have done a couple Easters, but it's not like an experienced road crew that have.
Yeah. And they still do a great job, though.
Absolutely. And that's what I say. It's even more impressive to me that it comes together like it does. Because
yeah, well, they're eager. They want to learn, which is really cool. It's fun. So.
That's awesome. So y'all get there 6:30 a.m. Saturday.
Yep.
Nothing's on the floor.
Nothing's on the floor. Me and the lighting guy, we started marking where we needed all the motor points to go.
And you draw it out? You have maps, designs? How do you know what to do?
We have a big, huge design. Essentially, before Easter, I created what was called it's just a package. And so it's got what it'll look like, where all the motor points go. The Chip did a schedule, sent it to me. We put that in there, and so every company knows everything where everything.
And is it like an app? Is it a platform? Is it a
no? We build it all in Vectorworks, and then we just PDF send it all out. So we walk in and we're looking at the measurements of where everything's going. We're marking the floor, and then
how'd you learn how to do that?
Years and years of
trial and error.
Yeah, well, being around touring and just being around shows. I mean, I've been doing production since I was 13 years old, so I've been doing it for a long time.
So you don't have a Vectorworks college degree?
No, I do not. And it is hard to learn, but so then the riggers, they go up and they start dropping chain and pulling.
What is a rigger?
They are the guys that are up in the sky, in the beams, hanging all the points.
And if you've been in the Berkshire Grocery Arena, it's a big ceiling.
Yeah, I think it's like 80 feet or 100 feet to the top, somewhere around that.
And they go up and what?
They go up and they're pulling all the chains.
How do they get up there?
There's a catwalk up. I don't know where it is exactly. I've never been up there in that one.
Yep.
I have been the one in the Hirsch, and that is scary. That thing has got dust in it since 1950. But then they start pulling chain, and we start getting power and getting everything floated in the air. And then
so, again, you are in this world, and I think to people outside not knowing anything about this,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that hangs up there, they call it truss, is the metal pieces that yep. the stuff connects to. It has to be attached so it doesn't fall. That's important. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to fall and collapse and kill someone.
Yeah.
It has to be able to hold the weight.
Yep.
You don't know how many lights, how many projector,
how
different
much weight
pieces.
You're going to need.
It's a lot of math and science.
Yep. Do you need a half-ton motor, a one-ton motor, or a two-ton motor?
And it's how much it can actually lift. That's the size of
yep.
the motor.
Yep. And then, you know, like the LED, the middle LED wall, I think it was like 1,500 pounds. But it was 20 feet wide, so we have a 20-foot piece of truss. Well, over the weight dimension, you have to you actually technically have to have 4 1-ton motors for that. It may have been more than that. I could look it up, but it was like 1,500, 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
And that doesn't just happen. You can't just go in there and wing it.
Yep.
So you are a big part of that, making it happen, leading up to it, making sure it all goes together smoothly. All this before you actually get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in. Where did the stuff come from? Like, where do we rent from?
So all the lighting came from a company in Lake Charles called Deep South Productions. This is the first year we've hired them. They did a great job. The sound comes from a company in Nashville called Spectrum, which I've worked with quite a bit. They've done Easter for us since 2020, and then the LED wall is from a company here in Shreveport called True Blue. Ronnie Jordan, he's part of our church, so that's where all that comes from. So
yeah, yep. Shout them out. It's mm-hmm. a lot. It's yep. a lot of moving pieces.
Yep, they all did great.
It's awesome. So it comes together. You've got the plan. They're putting the rigging points up. Again, this is 6:30 Saturday, so all this happens in 24 hours to where you come show up to church.
Yeah, when we walked in at 6:30, nothing was in there. And at 7 o'clock, we started dumping trucks. And by
how many trucks?
Two semis and multiple trailers. And by 1 o'clock, everything was pretty much in the air. They were finishing the LED wall stuff up.
Yep.
And I think they finished that up around 3. But by 4 o'clock, we're starting sound check and all that. So
that's crazy. So less than 12 hours. You got it show ready,
yep.
rehearsing. Getting it in there,
mm-hmm.
and then the band comes in. You got to test all the stuff, so you run sound.
Band comes in, rehearsal.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah, we started at 4, and then we do like a dress rehearsal with Justin at 5 to, you know, this is how the order of everything. Hey, we're going to do a video here. Jay Watley's going to come on stage. Justin's doing this. We're going to do a welcome. To, you know, hey,
you gotta make sure all the stuff works.
Where are all the chairs for the interview going to go?
That stuff.
Who's putting
nobody
those
thinks
chairs
about.
On stage? Where's the lighting look like? You know, it's... So we do all that, and I think we were done with that about 6-ish.
P.M. Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And then I walked out of the building at 7:45.
So 12-and-a-half-hour day.
Yep.
You're there all day. It goes up. Seems like Sunday went great.
Sunday did go good. It was great.
To have the Small Bones and Rebecca St. James.
Man,
really
they were
cool.
Awesome.
They are. My favorite story. This is behind the scenes. You won't hear this anywhere else. We get the book from Helen. We got to go get her sign a copy for our family.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to be there. And my five-year-old, when she was talking, said, she sounds like the mom from Bluey. And that's my phase of life. And I told her that, and she laughed. She's like, well, good on you, mate.
That's
and
so funny.
So we love Bluey in our house. They're Australian dogs. And she's like, actually, and she turned to my kids and was like, we had the voice of the mom of Bluey audition for my part in the movie. And she was one of the final ones we wanted, but she had a schedule conflict and couldn't make it.
Oh, no.
So could have been.
That's wild.
Chili. Chili Gila.
That's pretty funny.
Could have been there behind the scenes. There you go. So Helen and David Smallbone, the parents, came to talk about Unsung Hero. It was a great time with them. We really enjoyed hearing from them, hearing their story. And Rebecca St. James, their daughter, Grammy-winning artist, sang, was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Jacobs even got in there, American Idol. We got to talk to him on the Simple Church pre-show. You can go subscribe and look at that if you want to see a little bit more about a bitten kid that made it to American Idol and now is working in Nashville. Actually co-wrote one of the songs on the Unsung Hero soundtrack and had never met any of them. So he got to meet them for the first time and talk about the movie and being That's on cool. there. He wrote it for Lee Bryce, I think, picked it up and recorded it with the guys from For King and Country. But we had a Bossier connection. A bit.
There you go.
There you go. So we had a great time talking with them. We're working right now. TBD? To be determined when, but we're going to have a screening of the movie coming up soon. We're going to tell you more about it to be able to go see Unsung Hero at the Regal, and we'll be able to get that out there so you can be a part of that and support them in the movie. We got to see a screener copy of the movie as a staff. It was great. We'd highly recommend you go see it and be there. And then Helen's book, we'll put a link in the show notes that she came and had autographed copies, got to meet, talk about it some, and Rebecca St. James being there and singing was a great time. So Sunday morning happens. We had a great service. Everything went pretty smooth for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Good. So
you know, the one thing I said I was going to do this year that I didn't do?
What's that?
I said I was going to make it outside because I've never made it outside.
Look, all right, now let's talk about this because I was in charge of outdoor activities for a long time. I moved inside now. But there's a whole production. If you weren't there, you haven't seen the video recaps, go follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Check it out. It's like a festival, carnival, circus out there. It's a lot.
I remember Posey, he came up to me and he said, I don't know how he made it outside.
Stephen Posey, come on, man.
Video director. I don't know how he made it
outside.
He didn't
work as hard as
audio
people.
He had all his stuff together, so he had a break. That's what it was. He goes, there's a lot of stuff out there. I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, it's a ton.
But you, Jordan, literally, nose to the grindstone the whole time.
I never made it out
there. Then walk it outside.
No. Actually, at that time, I was making coffee.
Okay. Not working the whole time. Just didn't take the steps. But if you weren't out there, we have a great time. We had a great production. All of them worked so hard and make it all happen and do it. And again, that's just on Sunday morning. Then it all goes away. Mm-hmm. It all gets torn down, cleaned up. They had all the stuff, egg hunt, ice cream, golf tournament was out there, all kinds of good stuff. But now the service is over. And you've got to get all that stuff down out of there. So it took you basically 12 hours on Saturday.
I mean, it took us probably, I would say, 7 hours for it to all be set up.
Gotcha.
And in the air. And then...
How does it come down Sunday?
I was saying it took 7 hours to get it up and then place where it needed to go. And then we do our normal rehearsal, whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
Right before we started loadout, Posey texted me and Chip and said... He said, how long on the loadout? I said, 3 hours. And we closed the last trailer door at 2 hours and 58 minutes.
It's a lot harder to set it up than it is to take it down, huh?
Yeah. But the taking it down part is like, where's that going? Okay, that needs to go there. Because you got to find it when we get back.
Yeah.
So that was the other part was, is like, hey, that needs to go in that case because when we get back to the gap, I need to know where that is.
And I've been at Simple Search since 2008. We've had some times where we show up
it's
and
like,
stuff's
where
not
is it?
Labeled
I know it's
where
here. Where is it?
You scramble. You panic. Absolutely. So how does that work? Is there a person in charge? Is there an order? What does a loadout look like?
It gets... we have a few people jump on stage, and there's stuff where, like, all the band gear, I say, take that to Will. Will Clausen's our monitor guy, and it's everything kind of comes to him, and then he directs where it goes.
Because it's expensive equipment, microphones, monitor, all that stuff has to make sure it gets safely transported back
so
to where it needs
like
to go.
So it's like, I got to get it all to one area, and then Will can direct, hey, that microphone goes there, put that music stand or that mic stand over there. We need to get this cable in here. Same thing for video. All the video goes to Video World, and then Posey and Chip.
What is Video World? That sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we call it Video Village. that's where all the cameras, they all end up. It's like that camera goes in that case, and then that case needs to go in that case.
Because how many cameras did we have on Easter, for example?
Off the top of my head, I think like 8.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that.
So if you're sitting in church, you don't ever think about this isn't your world. There are 8 cameras.
It might be more than that.
All giving you the different angles, making sure you can see all expensive pieces of
gear.
Yeah,
I think 8.
Jordan's trying to count right now.
I think 8.
But... all of those have to have a signal that goes and feeds from a cable into a system that you can see the shots, and then there's a director calling it, yep. doing that. And that's what goes online as well. So if you're a part of Simple Church Online, you ever watch the feed, most churches don't attempt and do what we do.
Yeah,
there's one steady camera that's set up, maybe a stationary, maybe there's a director, maybe there's a couple, but it's a big operation. There's a lot of
moving
pieces.
Yeah, we actually added an element that we hadn't done in a long time, which was on the side LED walls. Stephen Knight actually directed the side LED walls in the room.
He's a podcast listener. Thanks for listening.
So shout out Stephen Knight. He did a fantastic job.
Looked great.
I had a vision for that, and he nailed it. He and Joe both, they nailed it. So there was a different image in the room than there was online.
Which is not normally what we do.
Right.
It's harder, more complicated.
Right. So that was, you know, a vision that I had that was like, man, this could be really cool if we knock it out. And they did a great job. It was really cool. Cool
That's
element.
Awesome.
So
all that stuff has to get torn down. Make sure it's not broken.
Yep.
Make sure it gets racked where it's supposed to go. All of the different moving parts of that. So you clear off the stage. You get all the band stuff off. You clear up the cameras. Then it's the physical.
And the truss comes down. And we unbutton all the truss. Forklift comes in. Now we're stacking truss on top of each other. Hey, take that to the truck. Lighting guys are starting to pack the truck. And then the audio guys, they packed the truck. They were done and out and an hour and 15 minutes, but they both tour with big artists.
That's what they
like
do.
They do it every single night, so
they know
were
what
out
they're
very
doing.
Fast.
Yeah.
And then the fun part for us, I don't know how we do this, but we do this every single year. It doesn't matter if we bring the 18-wheelers that we used to own or if we just bring two trailers like we did this year. We always don't have room at the end of the day.
Which makes no sense.
We came with the same, we're leaving with the same, well, hold on.
All right, you're thinking
hold
about
on.
It now.
We did not come with the same amount of equipment. We
what
did
was
not
added?
Get brought, we did not bring the chairs that the interviewees and Justin and Angie
mm-hmm.
sat on, but we took them with us, and they took up a lot of space.
And again, you don't ever think about this if it's not your job, but when you're sitting there and it's like, who's moving these chairs? Where are they going? Or what stuff doesn't fit?
Because I don't know where we got them from. But
Johnson's Furniture. Johnson's shout out
Furniture,
Johnson's Furniture.
Yeah, so we had to return them back to them. So they're going back in the boxes. And then I looked and I was like, that's going to be a problem. Because the trailers were, they weren't tight on the way there, but they didn't have that much room for six more chairs. So we made it all fit, luckily. But yeah, because otherwise it's, take it all down to the boardwalk and dump it and come back. And
nobody
wants
to do that on
that.
Easter Sunday. So 7 hours to set up, 3.5 hours torn down.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Out the door.
And all of that stuff got in the right place, got put back. We sent it back today with the staff. Thank you for your service, Jordan.
No,
thanks
thank
for getting
you.
In there.
It
looks fantastic.
Fun. It's always a good time. And, you know, a lot of people that don't ever come to church get to come, and we try to create a fun experience. And I think it was a fun, good experience this year. No one told me it was too loud, so that was a win.
As a sound guy, is that a pet peeve?
No, not really, because there's a lot of times where I don't think too loud is too loud. It doesn't bother me, but that's what I do.
Right.
But there's always one or two people, you know, people that I trust that go, hey, it's a little hot.
And I know.
Okay, and I'll bring it back.
I know you have, like, science. You're measuring the
actual.
Oh,
yeah, we have meters.
And you've gone and shown people the meter before.
Yeah, well, we have, like, yeah, we have measurement tools because technically.
Say, Karen, it's not too loud. It's this many decibels.
Well, technically, this is a big thing in the UK. So, really going off the rails here.
I like it.
They've got big sound limits. They call them speed limits, which is kind of funny. But if you go over that limit, so the way it's measured is it's measured over time.
Okay.
So a normal show, you know, you're at 100 decibels
okay.
for the show, which there's going to be peaks of 103, 104.
Sure, when it's
and
rocking.
There's going to be lower moments.
Stripped down acoustic.
89, 88, or 90. So if people, there were people that were saying that they were losing their hearing by going to shows. And so they were suing the bands or suing the production companies, which it's all taken over a length of time. So if you go look at the OSHA standard, it's like you can listen to 95 decibels for like an hour before you're technically in a
red zone
of, hey, you might be having hearing loss. So like we don't get anywhere near that because we're not a rock show,
right.
But yes, we have all those meters and stuff in place just in the event.
And you've shown
and
people.
It's all logged.
Yeah. It's retract. So
mm-hmm.
if you think it's too loud, it's not.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fine. No one told. Normally I get a, hey, it's a little hot. I didn't get that at all this year. So
That's a win. Good job, Jordan.
Thanks.
And thank you to everybody who made it happen, that whole team getting in, getting out. We had a great Easter. We're excited to be back at the Boardwalk this week, kicking off a new series, getting ready for the Unsung Hero movies coming. We'll be able to be a part of that. And then next week, we've got a good podcast for you talking about some do-good opportunities coming up We would love for you to be a part of. So thanks for listening post-Easter. Thanks for being with us. 3 years, Jordan, 4 years of the podcast.
Yep.
We appreciate you being here.
Oh, I appreciate you.
No, thank you, buddy.
No, thank you.
Thank you, listener.
Thank you, Scott.
Have a good week. Thanks for downloading this episode. We appreciate you listening to Backstage with the Simple Church Podcast. Subscribe so each week you get the new episode when it comes out on Wednesdays.
Exactly, because that's what you want, is the new content.
That's right. Automatically popped up in your feed, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there, leave a 5-star review.
Please do, because it helps people find us. And plus, we deserve it.
That's right, Scott. You do a great job.
Oh, so do you.
And thanks for listening. Share it with a friend. Send it to somebody that should enjoy this episode and subscribe as well. And thanks for being a part of the Simple Church.
Thanks for listening.